Hey guys, welcome back to another random episode of the Detour Podcast. We're doing another Giro check-in. We're joined live from Italy, John Trevorrow and Luke Plapp, who's jet-setting tonight to start Tour of Norway. But we cut his interview last week. I think that caused a bit of a blow-up. Iffy?
Only because you lost in space again, like you were this morning, and forgot to set it all up. Put him in the sin bin.
Dan's words. I wouldn't give a crap. It was all right.
The SBS people all saw it, the interview, so it wasn't wasted. So we did have it on SBS.
Pretty good tipping, actually. I think I said Remco and Tao, G and Tao would go all right, but I wouldn't rule out Remco. Fucking went 1, 2, 3 with my tips.
There you go. The Oracle. Well, speaking of the G, since we spoke last, G was obviously in the pink. It wasn't ideal to hold it for the second week because, as we know of Ineos Grenadiers, they're very astute tactically. And here's the update, mate. What's your take on what's happened over the last week?
Yeah, it was surprising that they let that break. First Frenchman to wear the pink jersey this century, which is sort of hard to believe. You know,
is it?
23. Yeah. First Frenchman to wear it, but that's only temporary. You'll lose it tomorrow, I reckon. It's a bit of a monster day. So, but the real race is definitely between between G, Geraint Thomas, and
Roglic.
Roglic, yeah, and Roglic is looking very, very strong. So it's going to be. Look, it'll start tomorrow for sure because they're not. There's no way that Ineos will ask Plappy this in a minute. Will want it to get down to that time trial with only 2 seconds. It's just such a shame for Theo Gegenhardt to crash out. And we'll get an update from Plappy on that as well, because with that two prong, they had a lot of options to do this week. One go up the road and put a lot of pressure on Jumbo Visma. So that's gone. So it's really looking like a race for those two. There's Almeida is strong. He'll have Jay Vine helping him because he's blown his own individual chances. In the freezing cold the other day, he just froze up. And it's a real shame. But he's got good form. So he after this rest day, I think he'll be in the mix. But
your internet. Johnny, perfect.
No good, mate.
He's no good. Well, one thing I was going to throw out there with Jay Vine is I did see an interview with him either pre-start or they were asking him about the team tactics.
Yeah,
he said, I don't even know what's going on. And I thought, oh, geez. Like if I was a media manager, I'd be like, mate, just always look like it's under control. In the background, you got cogs, but don't show your cards because like Iffy, they're vultures. They hang on these little words and comments and then they go the pounds. What was your take on Jay Vine if your internet holds out, Iffy, with what he said the other day? About
I don't know, mate. I'm thinking, because I just blocked out. I missed all of that stuff with you. He's tough work to interview, Jay. I can tell you that. Every time, my first question is almost, it's like a little contest. He'll have a bit of a dig and okay, I'm just trying to hear to help because I absolutely love your story.
He's maybe he's sick of your shit. Maybe it's not.
Oh, maybe it's that. Maybe it's that. We haven't connected, but because I do love your story, and he is a super talent. So, he's a class athlete, and he just froze up the other day. But so I missed that last part. My internet is playing up. So
well, I was just saying about the interview when he said, "I'm not sure about the team tactics," because you could tell he said, "I don't care if I finish top 10," but he basically wanted to lose a lot of time.
I actually said, "I don't give a shit about finishing the top 20." Is his exact words.
Well,
what I took away from it was. Well, I don't give a shit about finishing the top 20. And in any other words, you said, I only ride a bike for some coin. So I thought that was a bit interesting too.
I'm sure I've heard him talking to others. He's definitely going to be riding for Almeida and he'll take an effort to get up the road and go for stage, but I'm sure he will. You know, there are some fantastic stages for him if he gets that form back on.
Yep.
Johnny's gone again.
Cut out again. I think what he was going to say. Now, Plappy, give us your take on, you know, obviously he's disappointed with Tao and it was prime for sort of having a 1-2 punch attack. Where things are sitting at the moment inside the Grenadiers from all your little WhatsApp chats. Surely you're in the loop. What's going on?
Yeah, in the loop. In the loop. Now the boys are looking very good. I think everyone's more impressed with how Lawrence is riding on the front and Pav. They've been doing some pretty awesome work for the boys. So, gee, well, I guess this second week, I don't think he's seen the wind yet. It's been quite a shitty week, to be fair. Like, not much has happened. But now the boys are going well. It was a big shame about Tay. I was speaking to him just yesterday. And, look, it's going to be a fair road for recovery for him. It's, yeah, your femur's never good in your hips. So, that'll be a while. But now the boys are looking really good. G's flying along. And I think if you're giving up the jersey, you're quietly confident, aren't you? I think that's you're looking at the bigger picture and know what's to come. So, no, I think they're going to go really well. And... yeah, this week's ridiculous. Whether it gets down to that TT or not, I'm not sure. I think it's such a hard week as long as they don't cancel or shorten any more days because of this weather. But now the boys looking good.
How good is it having someone like G in your squad in terms of, you know, you're talking about someone with so much experience, but just the way he races and how smart he is with, as you said, he hasn't taken a breath in the wind. But are you able to pick his brain at any point or guys like that in the team to give you tips on, you know, positioning, racing, all these sort of things?
Yeah, G's probably the most relaxed and calm bloke I've ever met. It's it almost comes across like he doesn't give a shit about the race or anything, whether it's training or racing. He's just so calm and relaxed, which is, I guess if you won the Tour de France, you probably would be calm and relaxed, wouldn't you? But nah, he's amazing to learn off and a class act, and I don't think there's really anyone in the world that isn't happy to see him winning, probably. I think the year he's had, and I guess he cops a lot on social media, but to show how good he is, I think, like, well, there's a fair few people saying, he said, the third week's the hardest, but a lot of people saying, well, he's got to get there first. This time last week he was in the pink jersey and basically still he's leading the race, so... I think it's quite impressive what he's done and gone about his business almost quietly behind the scenes. Tao was flying. That's unfortunate. I think he was, probably almost my odds-on favourite to win it. So, yeah, it's a shame, but no, still all to play for.
A couple of live questions, Iffy. The Skull, he says, g'day, guys. Love your work. And Prasad's got a question for you, Plappy. He says, good afternoon, everyone. Question is, how Ineos should ride the race henceforth for remaining stages since their team strength is reduced due to the crashes? What's your advice there, Plappy?
I mean, we're not that reduced compared to everyone else, are we? Everyone's a bit hindered.
Some teams have got three riders left.
Yeah, we've got three in the top 10 still, so I don't reckon we're going too badly. Yeah. You just keep tapping away. You're leading the race, aren't you? They got to come to you.
Mm. Iffy, your internet seems to be working.
Yeah, I jumped onto my phone instead. So the
good.
Obviously Wi-Fi of the hotel wasn't that good. I think it's going to be amazing. The journalists around here seem to think that Roglic is going to be stronger in that final time trial. I don't know about that. At end of a three-week tour, it's whoever has got it is the strongest. And at end of 3 weeks, it affects everyone differently. Both Ineos and Jumbo have got good, strong teams. Rowan Dennis is going to be quite important because he's actually starting to come good in the latter part of this Giro as well, which they will need him up the road, because I don't think either team is confident enough to just wait till that final time trial, which is on the Saturday, because it's a monster.
Is that this one?
Yeah, that one. And as you see, the last part's all uphill. End of a three-week Grand Tour. It's very similar to what happened to Roglic when he lost the Tour de France, you know, had it in the bag and lost it on that. So that would play in the back of his mind. That'd be a plus for Tao, I reckon. So I reckon next couple of days are going to be amazing. Tomorrow, it's a monster day. If you look at it, if you've got the parkour there, Dan.
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow's stage, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, look at that. there's a cat one, a cat three, a cat two, and then finishes on a cat one. And there'll be no messing around. I can't imagine the GC not being completely shaken about. And I'll tell you who's going quite well. You know, Eddie Dunbar, the young Irishman riding for J.K. Alula. I see him every day. He is really in good nick. And I could see him maybe even getting to the podium, but definitely into the top five, I reckon.
Yeah. Mm. Well, it's definitely going to be interesting. Now, Plappy, you've had a few setbacks over the last sort of 6 to 8 weeks. Give us a bit of an update on what you've had to go through and how you're feeling leading into your next block of racing.
Biggest setback's been watching Carlton get pumped every week. But well, that hasn't helped. No, it hasn't helped at all. Concussion was the last one. So I guess that's just frustrating. Like, you think you're right, but you wake up or you go for a half an hour ride and you sort of just feel a little bit something. So you got to shut her back down. But yeah, all right now. Head to Norway this week, which is just a little 4-day race with a prologue at the start. So that'd be good fun. And then hopefully build towards Swiss. What's that, 2 weeks away now. So that's sort of a bigger one. I know our boys are targeting that. They're at altitude now before the tour. So that's, I'll sort of join that group there and help them out. But it's been a bit interrupted since the Aussie summer, to be fair. But looking forward to getting back into it. The weather's a lot better here in Spain than it is in Italy. So not complaining at all.
Yeah, good stuff, mate. Anything you want to give to Plappy before we let him go?
No. Commiserations on Carlton. Mighty Pies were too strong again, but anyway. You're doing some wind tunnel testing today, is that correct? In Norway?
Tomorrow, yeah. Oh, leave today to go tomorrow. So, yeah, I haven't been in the tunnel yet this year. I didn't even know Norway had a tunnel, to be honest with you. So we'll see what that spits out. And yeah, not sure what that'll lead to, whether I can race road worlds or whether it's just TT. Just doing some tunnels testing on the TT bike for the future. Not sure, but it'd be good fun. I always enjoy that, and you always find some nice little gains. But just looking forward to watching the last week of the Giro and seeing what happens. And yeah, I guess our race is a little bit just pushed to the side. I don't think anyone will be watching it with this last week coming up. Have they said if the last TT is still happening, Johnny? Is that like a definite confirmed?
Yeah, no, she's happening. I reckon there's talk about with the snow and those roads, but
Dan, they've got to go up. There's no cars that can follow them up that climb.
Really?
Every rider gets two motorbikes, and on the back of a motorbike will be your DS on the radio, and the other motorbike will be a mechanic holding your bike like on his shoulder.
DS freezing.
It's too steep. It's like
they're whinging about it. It's all back on. So.
One thing I've learned from the Giro is don't worry, they've got it all sorted. There's never any dramas at the Giro with any of this stuff. Just back them in, it'll all get there in the end. But no, it's gonna be a cracking final week for sure.
Before I go and give us who's winning the race. I don't want podium, just give me straight out who's gonna win.
Before the race started, I picked Roglic, but I'm gonna swap over. Maybe it's because I just want G to win it so much. I'm going to go G.
Nice.
Yeah. And then as soon as you jump off and we talk to Whitey, if he asks the same question, if you'll say Roglic. So.
Yeah. No, Eddie. That's there.
I'll go Almeida as the Smoky. I'm all about G, but I reckon Almeida could be a Smoky.
All right. Be very interesting. Right. Thanks for taking the time, Plappy. And hopefully the Blue
boys.
Baggers can find some form, mate. Eliminate some of that stress. Righto, mate.
Cheers.
Put your seat. Good on you. Luke Pipe. Now, before we bring Matt White on, we've got a special little video, Johnny, to promote Alula. I see they've re-stickered the bus. Everyone's up and about.
Oh, it's amazing, mate. You've done the bus. Yeah.
All right. We'll check it out. We'll be back soon with Matt White. Stay tuned. Very impressive, wow. John. And there's the website. Go to experiencealula.com.
Yeah, for those who are just listening to it on a podcast, they're not going to have a bit of blank there. It's good music. But it is quite amazing. But now I sent it through a little. We caught up with Philip Jones, who's the chief tourism officer for Alula, and he talked about how important it is for cyclists to understand how beautiful Alula is to come and visit. So you should have that in your system there. I think Maddy just sent it to you.
I've got in the system the interview with Heppy and the giant Tommy, representative.
Giant, yeah, we would like to do that one too. So play well, that one first if you like while you find the other one.
That's the video that Vaz sent. So this is all about preparation, John.
No, Vazzy sent you the other one.
All right, well, we'll try and work out those logistics. Whilst we do that, let's bring in Matt White. How many Giros now is this, Whitey, that you've been coming to?
The last 15 as a sports director, and then a few as a rider as well, mate. So it's been the last 20 years. The month of May has been Italy for me.
Is the weather progressively getting worse for the Giro? Because I remember back in the early days, you'd always get some nice days, but particularly like this year, it feels like, geez, they've been up against it.
They certainly have. But I know Italy, Northern Italy and Spain had very, very little rainfall over the winter, and they're just getting it now. So,
yeah, right.
Yeah. I know it's raining and pretty mild down my house in Spain as well. And we had more than 80 days without rain up until a week ago. So it's long overdue. But then they've had floods here as well in Italy. So, Not good, but things look good for the next 48 hours at least. And I haven't looked any further than that, but we're going to be a warm one today and 28 degrees today. So nice change.
Yeah. So from a JK Alula perspective, if he obviously gave Eddie Dunbar a good pump up and we look at the GC at the moment, he's currently sitting on 8th, 3 minutes 40 behind. You must obviously have big raps on Eddie and what he can do in the future as well.
Yeah, look, it's so far so good. So far so good. He's raced really well so far. The preparation that he had was not normal. Yeah, he broke his hand in the first day of competition in February. So then he couldn't race for another 6 to 8 weeks, and he only did two races in the month of April in the lead up to the race, which we'll see in a week's time. But it could be a blessing in disguise because he just had one slow build for this race, and he certainly. The week before this race in Romandy, he was top 10, which was super, and he's just gone from strength to strength.
Iffy?
Yeah, great young kid. It's been a fantastic vibe with JK Alula here on this Giro. And other than the weather, it's been a sensational bike race, but at least it's come good. Yesterday was an amazing day. We started in the drizzle rain and then it stopped straight away, and we ended up being, I think it was about 25 degrees by the time we got to Bergamo. And today, rest day, it's beautiful. So we think we're getting a couple of good days, which could put everyone in better spirits. It was a shame they missed the break yesterday because they've been in all the right moves, and JK Alula has been talked about by the press everywhere, been riding a very strong race. Not a lot of opportunities coming up. There's some monster days. Wednesday is the next sprint day. So trying to look at something there for Bling, I suppose, and the final day in Rome are the two opportunities. And about why did you want to ask about getting someone up the road to try and take advantage somewhere in those next few days?
Yeah, I think the situation at the moment, the race is really going to start tomorrow. And I expect that the big GC teams, which I think at the moment it's Ineos, Jumbo, and UAE, they'll be happy for breaks to sail. Especially I think Ineos, they don't want Roglic winning stages easily. So I think there's opportunities to put people in the moves, and then it's also a good plan for us to have guys up the road, and then be there for when the good guys. Like Eddie, meet them. So they have numbers, guys who can't climb with the front group. So the best place to attack those staters is be aggressive and get up the road in front of the big guys.
Obviously, Roglic, there's a big talking point that he's quite unlucky at the Vuelta last year. He was sort of poised to strike and then had that crash and, you know, had to abandon. But what are your thoughts in the GC, particularly with the battle going on with him and Geraint Thomas?
Well, the thing is, we're 2 weeks in and we actually haven't really seen too much of a showdown yet, really. You know, due to the shortening of one stage and all that, and a typically heavy back end of the race, we haven't seen him go mano a mano on a really tough climb. We're going to see plenty of it this week. It is quite hard to tell who has the upper hand at the moment. I think both teams, you know, if you look at the team-wise, Ineos definitely had the strongest team. You know, with Tao Gegenhardt going home, Sivakov crashing, Garner not here, they're certainly not as strong a team as they were on the start line. And then, you know, with Jumbo, they were decimated before the start. You know, having to make three late replacements in the spate of 3 days before the race, so they didn't bring their ideal team here either. So I think the race is still very open, but it's really hard to. I think we're going to know more in 24 hours. But sitting here on the rest day with some tough stages ahead, it's really hard to pick who has got the upper hand.
With your current role, Whitey, does it give you more time to sort of look at the race from a perspective of seeing performances of riders? Obviously, every team is, you know, you've got your list that you sort of got to deal with every year. But is there anyone that you've seen, and you don't have to name names, but at the Giro so far that you're sort of penciling going, okay, this person's flying under the radar a bit, that could be a good fit down the track?
Yeah, I think you've always got to be looking for those sort of guys. And I think Eddie Dunbar's a good example. You know, he was at Ineos, and won some good races last year, but couldn't, for some reason, crack into their Grand Tour teams regularly. And we identified him. I tried to get him 4 years ago and sort of kept in contact. And he's a guy there. He's just looking for opportunities. And, you know, he's come on board here. Obviously, he didn't have the ideal start to the year with his broken hand, but he's been a revelation with us as well. He's a leader as well. And the guys have really got in behind him. And he wants to show what he's capable of doing. And I think you've always got to be looking for those fringe guys. And sometimes those guys are sort of hidden in the biggest teams in the world and they're just not getting opportunities because they've got leaders who are paid more to get the results. And those guys, some of those guys are very ambitious and they want their own opportunities. And I think they're good guys to look at.
Now, one other revelation I saw at the Giro, we don't have the video, but new bus. That's exciting. Is that the death of the old bus? The one that we used to use?
No. Buses never die. They just go to other people. That bus is getting fixed up a little bit, and then it's heading to the women's team because the women's team, we're renting a bus for them, but we have for 2 years. But then I'm not sure when the contract ends with the rental. But we will carry on using the one we've been using for the men as well. So no, it's just moving, changing parts of the team that's going to be used. But the bus, the new bus, is a good one. It's a little bit different design, but the other one is still going fine. We're just looking for a new one, and it came just in time. I think it didn't even arrive until. I arrived after a week of the race, so we didn't even start the race with the new bus. We got it mid race.
But the single seats, there they go, because I think
single seats,
it was
free up a lot of room.
But the theory, which sounded great, was, you know, you have two seats and you get two riders and they can have a chat and all this sort of stuff. But it was just always used for dirty jocks and socks, and they just want to be by themselves. Let's be honest.
Or Chris Jules Jensen, whatever, you know, his SA Longo supermarket shopping bag.
Yeah, wrappers.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the theory was good, but that was before the internet.
Yeah, that's it.
We
need to keep you entertained on the way to the start now.
That's right.
Now, Whitey, Chris Jules Jensen, he had a nasty crash last week, really made a mess of himself. How's he going?
He's good. He's good. I spoke to him yesterday. Had a bit of an off out training in Sierra Nevada on the first day of camp there, and did a good number on his face and got a little bit of concussion. But he's past the concussion protocols now and starting back full training today. But it was a nasty knock.
How's everything? Obviously, we've still got another week to go to the Giro, but there's a big, obviously, calendar leading up to the Tour de France. How are things positioned for the next couple of months within the team?
Good, mate. So obviously we're going to the Tour de France this year on two fronts: one with Dylan Groenewegen and one with Simon Yates. Simon Yates is in Gran Canaria preparing before he comes back in a week's time and does a big block at altitude before the tour. And Dylan Groenewegen's been on fire. Actually, he's had two wins in the last 2 weeks: one on Saturday in Holland and one a stage in Tour of Hungary. So he's got a couple of weeks now he's going to go back down to Spain, prepare in the heat. Before he heads off to the Dauphiné and Tour of Slovenia. So we're basically running the same template as last year with him, this year as last year, which is to make him more robust, because especially this year, if you look where the sprint stages are, there's more sprint stages in the last week of the Tour de France than the first week of the Tour de France. So you've got to be able to get there, and you've got to be able to get there in a way where you've still got the ability to sprint for 21 days, and it worked really well last year. And then and then Simon's in a good place. So their final spots haven't been locked in, but there's a group of around about 10 riders vying for selection for those final eight spots for the tour.
How's young Lucas going? Because I know he had to go back to Australia because tragically his father had passed away, terrible interruption. But he's a fighter. How's he coming back?
He's back in Europe now, mate. He's back in Europe. I think he's in Andorra, and then he's preparing in Andorra until Tour of Switzerland. So he'll do Tour of Switzerland in his June race, and then we'll see how things are going and who makes the final cut for the tour.
Good stuff. Good. All right, mate. Well, anything else before we let Whitey go? Because we've got a couple more videos that we can.
Well, just a quick one. You touched on his new role, where he's been the leading sports director with Green Edge right from the beginning. But now with his new role of sort of overseeing the whole men's and women's program, what's that actually entail, mate?
Yes, so obviously, I was just focusing on the men's team. And now I'm across the women's team as well. So we've got two new sports directors in the women's team, and helping them upskill them and helping them develop their skills on the women's side of things, and sitting in on their performance meetings with the coaches and with their sports directors and helping with them with their planning. And then the men's team, at races like this, usually I'm the head sports director, but here I'm just here to help the guys, help the directors here. Dave McPartland's leading the way here at the Giro. And yeah, so I'm still doing a lot of days away, same basically the same days as before. But when I'm at some of these bigger races, my role's step back a little bit, and it's more in a support role for the sports directors, or I'm the contact with the coaches during these races, so they can concentrate on the day-to-day grind of the Grand Tour.
And just one other one, big sign that we announced last week is Alan Piper is going to be coming across to the team. And, we've talked about on the show numerous times the amount of experience he brings to the fold. Obviously, you'll be working pretty closely with Alan. Big signing for the organisation.
Yeah, it is, mate. He's got an incredible amount of knowledge over 30, 40 years. And so Alan's coming in doing some consultancy stuff with us, and having a look at how the organisation's run and helping us out with, you can always be looking to how you can improve an organisation. And especially, we've been around a long time now, but there's always good ways to refresh ideas and have a look how you do things and do things better. And he's got an incredible amount of knowledge, which we really valuable across the organisation.
Good stuff, mate.
Thanks, Whitey.
Thanks, Josh. Whitey, what do you got on for the rest of the rest day, mate?
What's that, mate?
What do you got on for the rest of the rest day? You got the boxing pads?
I'm going to catch up with call with the coaches at 11, all the coaches who are involved with here at the Giro Riders. And then I went for a bit of a walk this morning. Macca's family's here, so he spent the morning with his family, and then I'll go for a bit of a run in the middle of the day in quite hot temperatures before dinner. Then have a bit of a catch up with the staff, as we do before on a rest day before dinner. And reset and get ready for the last week of the Giro, where the Giro is really going to start in earnest tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, I heard that since COVID, the old cheese wheels, they're just dried up. They don't really like those anymore, which is a real shame.
Yeah, yeah. No, I haven't seen a cheese wheel since COVID, mate, unfortunately. We are approaching that. Well, we've passed through that area, but no Parmigiana wheel to be seen.
It's shattering. Absolutely shattering. That used to be the highlight.
It'll be back. Just one more.
Yeah, can't win them all. All right, mate. Enjoy the rest of your rest day. Thanks for taking the time to have another chat, and hopefully it's another good week and big build up for the Tour de France. So we'll
no doubt. Yeah, definitely. Looking forward to finishing off the Giro and get things on track again for the Tour.
Good on you, mate. Be in touch.
See you, gents.
See you, mate.
See you, mate.
Matt White, always great insights from Whitey, and as you said, like, things are looking good for the team. Now I've got that interview because the logistics are ticking over, no dramas at all, mate. So we'll play the clip now.
It shows a bit of the bus as well. Yeah, this is good. Yeah,
with Philip Jones. So yes. This is Philip Jones and his insights.
The raw files.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Good. Yeah, yeah. So Philip Jones, you're the chief tourism officer for Alula, and this is your first view of the new bus. It looks amazing.
Thank you so much. It's such a great way to showcase Alula to a global audience of cycling enthusiasts and introduce them to an amazing destination.
Well, I mean, the buses are always very popular with the fans, and when this arrived, just like 4 or 5 days ago, the feedback that I've got from the people has been amazing.
Well, I think one of the things we want to do is really capture the imagination of these fans who probably have never heard of Alula before, and let them know that we're positioning Alula as sort of the cycling capital of Saudi Arabia, and we are so proud to be sponsoring this team as one of the named sponsors. It's just an amazing team, and it's a great partnership.
Well, this is for our Australian audience, although I have a world audience,
yes,
but the Australian audience. Mostly Aussies don't know much about Alula. They've started to learn that it's the state of Saudi Arabia, quite large, about the size of Belgium, with only a small population, but interesting cycling culture that's beginning.
Yeah, so, you know, what we are trying to do is introduce the sport of cycling to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, and Alula lends itself, obviously, to be sort of that capital. And so we host the Saudi Tour in Alula. This is we'll have our third year this year. And as we sort of educate the people of Saudi Arabia, and specifically the people of Alula, about the important role of cycling in the development of the tourism industry in Alula, it helps us. And being partnered with an amazing Australian team like Jayco Alula is something that we're very, very proud of.
So, two quick lines. Why should Aussies come to Alula with their bikes?
Alula is one of those unbelievable destinations. If you haven't seen it, then you can't believe it. You just have to experience it to understand its special 7,000 years of history, multiple monuments and archaeological sites, lots of activities, and a lot of development in the area of arts and adventure and culinary. So it's a must-visit destination for Australians.
Sounds great.
Thanks so much. Mate. Thank you.
There you go, Iffy. That's your interview there. And we've got another one. Who have we got? Heppy and Tom from Giant.
Yeah. Giant bikes have become the team just can't stop raving about how good they are. So we've got the boss from Giant, Tom, who's just a legend, Tom Davies, the Welshman. And he and Heppy have a little bit of exchange. I know you've got to run. You're under the pump. So we can just show that. That would be great, mate.
No dramas.
Right, there we go. Okay, well, we're about to start one of the tough stages. It's into Bergamo, and it's probably a Lombardia stage. Now, you were saying, Heppy, you haven't ridden Giro di Lombardia.
I haven't, and I'm not too displeased about that.
Well, it's almost a Lombardia today. And also, Tom, Giant Bikes been an amazing addition to Team Green Edge, Jayco Alula, over the last couple of years. What's it meant for Giant Bikes?
Oh, it's meant a lot. I mean, Green Edge is a very prestigious team. You know, I saw it in Tour Down Under when it first started in 2010, and I've always followed them, and they've been a great team. So when the opportunity came for me to join them, I didn't hesitate. And, you know, they were super happy to have our bikes, and it was, you know, especially people like Heppy, you know, they're very vocal in enthusiasm, so that motivates us, you know. And we had a new TCR when they first came, and then at the tour last year was the new Propel, and coming up in the theatre near you soon will be a new time trial bike, because it's due, because Tom Dumoulin won 6 years ago on the same bike that Simon won last year in the Giro. So it's about time we got a new one. So that's coming next. So, yeah, I think it's good. You know, they give us a lot of feedback, and there's a lot of good energy, synergy between us.
And you said he's vocal. We know that. But for you, as a rider, what's been, significance with Giant?
Oh, it's made a huge difference. You know, being on great equipment, really fast equipment, we've really noticed it in the last couple of years, and obviously the link between Giant and CADX as well. I think a lot of the bike brands now, it comes down to not just the frame and the wheel set, but how they're integrated together and how they're built. And there's a few companies doing that, and Giant's certainly at the front of that. So, you know, we couldn't be happier. We're on extremely fast bikes.
And being a time trial nut that you are, nice news to hear from Tom that a new time trial bike about to come out.
New time trial bike on the way. Pretty crazy to think that. How old is this bike?
Seven.
7 years, and it's very fast bike. So, you know, with the addition of disc brakes, I think that'll help.
And it's a lot lighter.
Lighter, it's going to be even quicker.
Well, good luck today, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Good luck.
There you go. That's another wrap on a big episode. Thanks again for all the support, guys. And who's your final predictions, Johnny? Are you going to flip now that Plappy's gone, or you going with G?
No. I'm going to go G. It's a passionate one, but because what a way to finish an amazing, not that he's about to finish, but he is a sensational guy and a legend, really. So, I'll go with G, but it's going to be close. It's going to be close. Yep.
All right, good stuff. Thanks again for all the support, guys. We'll check in again after the Giro. And actually, I might say what odds he is, G. If Roglic is short, we might get the way. All right, but enjoy the last week, mate.
I have to congratulate Vazzy. We haven't got time to show the little vid. He was like a machine out there yesterday. We're doing the bottle feed. He got four bottles out in about 5 seconds. It was just
staggering. No, hang on. Hang on, mate. I do have it. This is the footage now. So this is Vazzy on the side. And how many did he get off? Four?
Four. Look at this.
There's one. Right. Two.
Two.
Three. Four, he did. That is actually good going.
I only got three. I'm just down in front. I didn't make the bid, didn't make the cut, but I got three off. And the last one I missed, it was too slow, was Heppy. And he went, and then he yelled at me, and coming up, I was sorry for yelling, mate. I was just a bit too slow getting it to him. But I presented him with a glass of water last night at the dinner table, so to make up for it.
That's a perfect trade-off. All right, mate. Have a good week. Right. We'll check in again soon. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, mate. All right.
Take it easy.
Bye. Nice.